Hello, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me at Fish Toes. I wanted to make a couple of quick corrections or adds to the last podcast. When you're starting fishing and you're out there, I had mentioned I would talk about, keeping lines taut and stuff for bottom fishing and so forth. So I did want to take a few minutes here to kind of go over, for lack of a better term, some more beginner techniques. So when you get out and you've cast your line out, you're going to currently be fishing in two different ways. One is which is bobber fishing or having your bait up at the top of the water. And the second one is going to be the bottom fishing, which is using a few sinkers or split shots in our scenario to fish on the bottom. Now, when you are bottom fishing, we're going to start with that one. There's a few things you need to sort of do to kind of make sure your technique is proper, that you know when you've got a fish on the line. I'm not going to go over the casting part. We're going to assume that you've cast, you've got your line out, you had some weight on there, an 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce sinker, and your bait worm, or whatever it may be. So once you've cast that out, what you want to do is, you want to reel back in. So you've cast out, you've flipped the bail back over, or you've reeled in just enough that your bail has closed, or the housing on the in a push button reel has closed. So when you reel in, now you're reeling the line in. Now, you'll notice that the line, if it's new line, you won't notice it as much. As the line gets older, you'll notice it more. As the line is going out, it's going to have some curls to it. What happens is line has memory, and as it's coming out and there's no tension on that line and it's just kind of hanging there, you'll notice it looks like a screw. It's got some curls in it because the line is kind of gaining memory that it's wrapped around a spool. The older the line gets, the longer it's on there, the more that this is going to become noticeable. It's not typically a problem, but after a while you'll notice it may start to cause you problems, and in which case every year or so you want to replace your fishing line. Now, so how do you work with this? If you have too much what's called slack, in other words, when your line is coming out of the end of your rod and you'll see it kind of go out and disappear into the water somewhere, after you first cast out, you'll notice that line's laying on top of the water a little bit. It's kind of loose. There's a lot of slack in the line. You'll see a lot of those curls. So if you start to reel in really slowly, now you want to wait a few moments after you've cast out so that the sinker has dropped to the bottom and it's sitting on the bottom of the lake or pond. And as you start to reel in slowly, it's going to reel in that slack and you're going to gain tension on the line. And that's kind of the target point you want to get to. Now, you'll notice, if you keep reeling, it's just going to keep coming in and it's going to drag that sinker across the bottom of the water. And so you don't want to do that. You want to let it sit where it is, but you want to reel that slack in. So you're just going to kind of reel a little bit till the line starts to snug up. It doesn't need to be perfectly tight, but the more snug you can make that line, the better off you are. So what's going to happen is once you have that snug, okay, if you hold the rod just like you're going to cast out, which is, you have your hand around the rod itself and your trigger finger on the fishing line. So if you can imagine this, for lack of a better term, I guess it sort of works like the old cup phones we used to use when we were kids, where you'd take a piece of string and tie a knot into it and feed it through the bottom of a plastic cup and, run it to, across the room or whatever and put it there. And those vibrations, when you speak into the cup, then kind of make it sound like you can hear what the person is saying from the cup on the other end. Well, this is sort of the same principle. You want your line snug enough so that you can feel vibrations that are coming from the other end of the line. Now, there's two ways of doing this. One is the first way I just talked about, which is keeping your finger on the line. So if a fish is down there and it's pulling or it's tugging or even if it's biting and you've got some line on there that is snug, you're going to feel those vibrations in the tip of your finger as it comes down there. Now, the other way of doing this is if you set your rod down and you lean it up against your tackle box, or if you have a rod holder or even a stick that you put in the ground, so you set the butt end of the rod down on the ground and put the other in the Y of the stick, for example, that your rod tip is sticking up in the air somewhat, you would reel in enough that it's snug, and the same thing is going to happen. The difference is you're going to see the vibrations in the tip of the rod, and that's what you're looking for. You want to be able to know when there's a fish on the end there. And once you know it's moving around, and again, these are the types of things you get a feel for. But in any event, once you feel it either starting to pull, you know, you may feel little, you know, just little ticks and bumps at first. And that's just the fish maybe playing with it, checking it out, seeing what it is. And then if you start to feel a little bit stronger tugs, it might already be trying to pull the bait with the hook in its mouth, or it's already starting to go. You know, it's already got it there and it's heading out. So at this point, you want to set the hook. So the more weight you have, the more energy when you go to set the hook. So you're going to lift the rod tip up in the air quickly. But if you have a lot of weight on there, a lot of that force that you're putting onto that is going to go to the sinker and not so much past it, especially if it's lighter line. If it's heavier line, this isn't something you have to worry about too much. You lift the rod up, and you want to move the rod, tip of the rod, you know, a good, you know, foot and a half to 2 feet, depending on the size of the fish. Again, smaller fish, the easier you can set the hook, or the lighter you want to set the hook, I guess I should say, because you don't want to tear that out of its mouth. If you think you're getting bass and you've been catching bass, then you want to give it a pretty good hook set to get it caught in its mouth. So again, you want to keep that line snug. You know, if you're in moving water, if you happen to start river fishing or anything like that, depending on where and how you're fishing, a lot of times the current will keep some tension on that line for you. Now, once you've done that, a little quick note about the bottom fishing. If you're reeling in, you know, you want to bring your line back in. What you want to do is, if you've had your, you know, the line snug and it's been sitting there for 10 minutes and you're not getting any bites, so you want to reel in a little bit and try a slightly different spot, or you're going to reel in to cast out. What I recommend is you kind of take the tip of your rod, lift it up quickly into the air, not as quick as you're setting a hook, but what we want to do is we want to lift that weight off the bottom and then reel in kind of quickly, because what you want to try and avoid doing is dragging that across the bottom. There are techniques that you can use that you're going to want to drag it across the bottom, but the problem with that is you're dragging that sinker across the bottom. If it drops down in a crevice between two rocks, or you go over a branch and, you know, or an old log underwater, you can inadvertently sink the hook into that, or get the sinkers hooked up around something, and then you've got a snag. If you give it kind of a pop up into the air, or into the water, higher up in the water, I should say, then retrieve quickly. Then you want to keep your rod tip up in the air and reel in pretty quickly so that the weight doesn't have time to sink back to the bottom. If you're in an area and you notice, and you're sinker fishing, and you notice it seems like every time you're getting out there, you're getting a snag, you know, then you may want to try switching to bobber fishing. Now, if you're catching fish and so forth, you know, it may just be a little bit of trouble that you deal with that you're getting snags. We are going to take in this episode a little bit of time to go over kind of working around those snags and getting things unhooked. So again, if you're bottom fishing, you want to keep that line snug. And if you're going to reel in, like, back to the shore, or you're going to just reel in and bring it in 10 feet and try a slightly different spot, lift the tip of the rod up in the air. You know, it doesn't need to be like you're setting a hook. You're just sort of popping it up into the air and then reeling quickly so that your bait is above the bottom and not just dragging through all the rocks and stuff. If you're bobber fishing, you're not going to really have the luxury of getting all the slack in, because if your line becomes snug, you're just going to keep, the bobber's just going to want to move towards you. It's just going to drift in towards you until you've got slack on the line anyways. What you want to avoid, though, is too much. You know, you'll cast out and you'll notice the line is way off to the side and kind of the wind's blowing it across the top of the water, and you've got a lot of line now laying out there. So you don't want to have that going on. You want to try and reel in so that the slack is at a minimum. Now, when you go to set the hook on something like this, what you want to do is, because there is that distance, you've got two options. The first one is, when you set the hook, you've really got to move that rod, because you've got to take all the slack out before the bobber is going to move and the hook underneath it is going to move also to set the hook. So you've really got to swing that rod up in the air or off to the side to set the hook. Another way is to just, if you notice the bobber's getting played with or it's starting to move, just start reeling in your line kind of slowly until that slack comes in. Now, if the bobber starts drifting towards you, that can be okay, because the fish is either already on there or the fish is kind of playing with it and pulling it, and he'll follow it that little bit. And then once you've got the line more or less snugged up, you can now set the hook fairly normally. Usually when setting the hook with a bobber, you're going to have to give it a little bit harder of a pull, because what's going to happen is, when you go to pull that, you're going to feel that initial resistance when there's a fish on there or whatever it is. But a lot of that initial resistance is actually the bobber being pulled through the water. So you got to get that resistance, and then you need the extra little bit of oomph to actually set the hook in the fish. Now, one nice thing about bobber fishing, a lot of times, especially with smaller fish, when they start pulling on that bobber, there's a chance that they're already going to set the hook, because now they're fighting against that tension of the bobber wanting to stay up on top of the water. I kind of wanted to hit that a little bit more when you actually are fishing with bait, you're bottom fishing or bobber fishing, and that's going on. So let's talk a little bit more then in depth about setting the hook on these two types of rigs. So again, with the bottom fishing, when you feel the line moving, you're going to feel the vibrations and stuff in there. The fish probably has the hook in its mouth, okay? Or you're probably not, you know, you may feel some real light ticks when the fish might just be nibbling at it. And again, that's as long as you got the line snugged up real good. So now you've got to figure out, a lot of fishing has to do with what you can feel going on. And this is a big part of the quality of fishing rod and line together. When they're kind of working together, you'll feel different things going on there. And they can be hard to explain, but as you start to fish and you start to feel that, it's just something I want you to pay attention to, and you'll start to learn what's sort of going on. I've taught a lot of people how to fish over the years, mostly kids and stuff, but a few adults. And the one thing I've noticed is, and I don't remember back to this a lot when I was a kid and learning to fish myself, so I'm just going to sort of try and do my best to explain it. But I'll see someone and they'll be fishing and they'll be like, I don't think I have a fish on there. Or I've got a fish on there and they're just reeling in some weed. When a fish is on there, now there's going to be instances, and I'm not going to get into them too much, but there's instances where, you know, you're fishing in an area that's weedy and you get a small fish on there and you pull him through and now he's tied up in weeds and you're pulling that in and that fish is not really moving much anymore. It's all tangled up in weeds. So you may not necessarily feel the little tugs, twitches, and pulls. Now, when you're reeling in, you've got one hand on the rod, one hand on the reel itself, on the handle. So you don't have the opportunity to really feel. You don't have any hands, extra hands to put on the line to feel if that line is being tugged and pulled. But if you pay attention, you'll feel it in the fishing rod itself, where your fingers are wrapped around there. This is it's again, it's hard to explain, but if you're, you know, if you're at home and you have the fishing rod, you know, in your hand, no hook on the end, you know, have somebody grab the other end and give a couple little tugs and pulls on that fishing line, and you'll start to get a sense of what we're talking about, because you know, you'll feel those kind of ticks and twitches, and you will feel them in the fishing rod, though not as strongly as you would in the fishing line itself. But if you kind of get a feel for that at home, you know, and you could even do it yourself if you just sort of take the line, leave some extra line out there, and then, you know, kind of do the same thing, except you tug on the line with your, you know, with one hand while the rod is in the other hand, and you'll start to see what I'm talking about. If you take that fishing rod, don't do it too hard, but if you kind of take the tip of the fishing rod and bounce it off the couch or something like that a little bit, the end of it, you'll feel those ticks and stuff and that vibration back in the handle. That's the sensation you're kind of looking for in that. Now, if you do the same thing and you're reeling in and you've got something heavy on the line, you know, you caught a stick, you caught some weeds, they don't fight. There's not going to be any of those twitches and vibrations in the line. You're going to feel the weight of something on there that's coming towards you as you reel in, but you're not going to feel those bumps and ticks and twitches in there because there's nothing fighting on the other end. So again, just it's kind of a point where you just sort of learn to pay attention to what's going on there, and you'll start to learn that pretty quickly, and then you won't have any doubts when you're feeling something on there and when there's just something that's caught on the end of the line, you know, a little bit of, you know, weeds or, you know, a stick or branch or something like that. So keep that in mind, because what's going on down there has a lot to do with, you know, you can't typically see what's happening, but you can feel a lot of what's happening. And so again, when we talk about fishing rods and the higher qualities and different things like that, in certain higher quality rods, reels, and so forth like that, and setups, a lot of times in the higher quality fishing rods, the energy that they transfer back down to the handle, the materials they're built out of and so forth, will make that feeling those things easier. And as you're reeling in, you'll start to learn things like, especially like if you're bottom fishing, when you're dragging that, if you drag the weight across the bottom, you'll be able to tell when you're dragging across rocks, because you'll feel thump, 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 thump in quicker ticks. And then you'll reel it in and you'll feel like, okay, you feel tension, but you're not feeling any bumps. Well, it could just be a muddy bottom and you're kind of dragging that through the mud. You may feel the mud part and then you feel a little bit more of a solid thump, and then you feel more tension, and then all of a sudden less tension, and then you're feeling the mud. Well, you might be coming through weeds and then your weight bumps against the side of a weed and kind of hangs up there a second. So there's a lot you can do with what you can feel through the fishing line and through the fishing rod as you're dragging this stuff across the bottom. A great example of this, this is going to be a little bit more advanced, but you may pick it up, is if you fish something like a spinner or a rooster tail, something that has like a blade on there that spins, okay? And as you go to reel that in underwater, and you can see it, you know, if you put it, keep it, fish it fast so it stays up high, and you watch that blade turning, it actually makes the lure sort of pulse a little bit underwater. And if you notice, and again, you want to pay attention, you'll feel that. You'll feel that pulsing as you're reeling it in. And in fact, a lot of times if you've got a heavier spinner or something like that on there, if you watch as you're reeling in the tip of your rod, you'll see the tip of the rod vibrating, okay? And if you just kind of pay attention and hone in on what you're feeling in the hand that's on the rod, you'll notice you can just feel that pulsing under the water. And this is the type of sensations we're talking about that's really letting you know what's going on out in the water with the fish and so on. So it can work the same when you're bobber fishing, though you have less of it going on. But as you start to reel in a little bit, you know, you see your bobber dancing around some, and so you reel in a little bit till your line starts to snug up and you want to set the hook, pay attention to what you're feeling in that line. If you're feeling a lot of
tugs and vibrations there, that fish is, it might be a smaller fish, but it's probably pulling. That's when you want to set the hook. That's when you want to give it a quick flick. Now, if you're feeling that, again, it's probably a smaller fish, because there's a good chance if it's a bass or something that's bigger, it's going to just kind of grab it and start running, and you're really feeling something going on then, and you want to give it a bigger hook set. But if you're feeling smaller ticks, bumps, and they're pretty quick, that's when you want to give it a slightly lighter set to the hook. And again, if your line is way out there, if you cast out really far because you're trying to get it out beyond a weed bed, or there's some kind of structure out there you can see, so you've cast your line way out, the line has stretch. So you want to, give that a pretty darn good, you want the end of your rod to move a lot, just so that the line moves a little, because the line is going to move with the rod tip, but the rod's going to bend, which takes away some of the force you're putting down at the end of the line, and then your line is going to stretch, so you want to make sure you're kind of compensating for all that. If you're fishing and you've got, 4 feet of line out of the end of your rod, and you're just dipping it over the edge of the dock, and you can see a fish is grabbing hold of it, well, for the most part, if you move your rod tip up 3 or 4 inches, it's moving that hook 3 or 4 inches. And that's all the more you need to move it to bite into that hook, or bite into that fish with the hook and set the hook. But if it's way out there, you might need to swing the rod tip 2 or 3 feet quickly to up or to the side to just move that hook the same distance. These are things that are sort of advanced and take a while to get the hang of it. But I'm a person that feels that, like, I like to understand what's going on, and then I can figure out what I need to do. And so that's kind of the way I teach, which is pay attention to what you're doing, not just a set amount of rules. If you see the bobber go under, you twitch the rod 2 feet to the side, and then you start to reel. It doesn't function that way. It may work some of the times, but it's not going to work all the time, and you're going to lose fish no matter. I lose fish all the time. That's just part of fishing. If you pay attention to what's going on, you can increase the likelihood that you're going to set the hook properly and you're going to catch your fish. So I do want to dive more into the things you want to pay attention to, but I'm going to kind of throw those in as we go with each little thing. So hopefully this is kind of an add-on to the last episode more than its own standalone, but there are things I wanted to talk about in setting the hook and stuff a little bit more. So again, we kind of covered the bottom fishing, keeping your line snug but not too tight, keeping the bobber line, keep as much of that slack out of there as you can, though you're not going to be able to keep it all out of there. Just that's kind of the nature with bobber fishing. Now, the other part you want to pay attention to is, I guess we kind of covered this one, but you want to pay attention because when you're fishing, especially with bait fish, and you don't have a whole lot of, you throw a bobber out there and you're sitting there and you're just kind of watching the bobber, you look away to see some birds flying around or whatever, and you look back and, your bobber's underwater, so you set the hook and you bring a fish in, and now you've got a fish that swallowed the hook. Now, if you stay focused on what you're doing, and you can set the hook quickly. Now, when I say set the hook quickly, you're going to see that, especially with bobber fishing, the bobber will bounce around a little bit and stop, and then bounce around a little bit and stop. So they're just out there sort of playing with it. But if it goes under, you want to try and set the hook, because what's going to happen is the fish is going to be down there. He's playing with it. They might just hang out right where your bait is and swallow it and then start to move. So you don't even know they were on there. You had no indication there was even a fish there, and the fish has already swallowed it and he's moving away, and it's pretty easy to catch them at that point. They're not going to spit the hook out. But now once you've caught that fish and you realize they've swallowed the hook, it's not a fun experience. It's not anything to get worked up over or anything like that. But again, we want to take care of the fishery for other people to fish and stuff. And if we just keep you know, feeding hooks to fish, and you know, it ends up injuring them or they die. You know, they can't eat right or whatever it is. So we want to try and avoid fish swallowing the hooks. So the more you pay attention, though, the less likely that a fish is going to swallow a hook. And you know, if you're feeling those ticks on the bottom, you know, some people just tell you, oh, just wait and until, you know, the fish starts running with it, let them swallow the hook. If you're catching catfish at night and you're keeping them to eat, no big deal, that's fine. If you're fishing for trout and you're going to keep them, again, no big deal, that's fine. The worst thing is when you go to clean the fish, you know, you just remember if there was a hook in there that you don't, you know, you're not reaching your hands in there to pull stuff out, and you're grabbing hold of a hook. So, you know, you do want to be careful of that stuff. But if you're just catching and then you're going to put back in, the more attention that you pay to what's going on and the quicker you can set the hook, the less likely you are to have them swallow that. And you know, just makes it a lot easier then to get the hook out and release the fish back into the water. So I realize this doesn't cover a lot of new information, but hopefully it's going to clear up a few little things for you. But I do think there are important points that, you know, when you're fishing, especially new, and you're bait fishing, these are some things I just want you to kind of watch out for and work on. The biggest thing I can tell you is pay attention. You know, when you're, every time you're reeling in, that's an opportunity to learn something. You know, you can reel in slower. I know I told you to reel in quicker, so it stays up off the bottom, but you can reel it in slower also to bring it in along the bottom. You know, think of it like a water skier. If you pull them really fast, they're going to stay on top of the water. And the same is going to be true for your bait when it's on the bottom, even with weight on it. But if you reel it in real slow, it's just going to kind of drift along the bottom, bouncing along things. So try that. Reel it in slow a couple of times and feel what's on the bottom. And if you feel like, you know what, I'm just sort of dragging along some gravel, and you know, you're not snagging up or anything, then just continue to do that. There's not anything out there that you're really snagging on, and you're going to get some snags. The best thing I can tell you with snags are, you know, you're going to want to kind of pull them snug, but if you feel a snag, okay, you know, like, so you're reeling in and then all of a sudden it stops. Now, if you're not feeling anything pulling back, it's probably a snag. It's, you know, the fish are gonna pull and fight a little bit. A snag is not. So what you want to do is you want to reel in your line, okay, until you feel like, so as soon as you feel it snag, okay, stop reeling. You know, you can start to pull, but we're going to do that as a second part. The first part, I want you to take the tip of your rod and just start to kind of flick it. What we're trying to do is make the line go loose, tight, loose, tight, loose, tight. And so what that's sort of doing is it may let the bait, you know, say it hooked up on the edge of a rock. And if you let a little bit of the slack and then pull it tight, you may cause that sinker to slide up against the rock real hard and bounce off, and then you're loose again. So it's, you know, you just kind of flick the end of your rod where you're getting a little slack, no slack, little slack, no slack, and tight, 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 loose, loose, loose sort of thing. You know, so you flick the end of the rod back and forth. That's kind of the action you're going for. Now, if you do that a few times and you're not getting it, you know, there's a reasonable chance that you're just not going to get that, and you're going to end up snapping your line and losing what's on the end, which is unfortunate, but it's going to happen. It's a part of fishing. So get used to it. in any event, so now you've got to snap your line. Well, you don't want to lift the tip of your rod. You don't want to bend your rod, okay? Because what can happen is if your drag is not set properly, you lift the rod and you just keep bending, 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 you can snap your rod. So don't do that. What you want to do is, and there's a couple of different options for this, but you can aim your rod directly at the line where it goes in the water, reel till you get it snug, and then pull back. Now, in theory, your drag should engage, and it's going to just let the line pull out. So if you had trouble with your drag, what I want you to do is take your fishing line and loop it around the butt end of the reel, just somewhere around the handle or something like that. Don't use your fingers to pull the line because that line is narrow diameter and it can snap
on you, or I mean, it could cut into your fingers a little bit. So, but if you loop it back around like the stem of the reel or somewhere around the reel, now you can pull the rod straight away from where you have the snag is. Again, you're aiming the rod tip right at the line going into the water, and you could just take a step or two back and pull. And you know, this is when you're going to learn how much fishing line flexes. You pull it back, and either it's going to give you enough force to pop the bait out of whatever it's caught to, or it's going to snap your line. In which case you reel in and tie on again and keep going. Now this is always important to me. If you snap your line, you're going to feel you have no weight. When you're reeling in, I want you to hold the rod way up near the first eye, okay, where the line's coming out of the reel and goes into the first eye of the rod. And I want you to hold the rod up there with your left or right hand, whichever hand you don't reel with. And I want you to pinch the line between your fingers a little bit and reel with your other hand. What this is going to do is it's going to put a little tension on your line, so as the line wraps back around the spool, it's going to stay snug. If it gets real loose and you keep wrapping around there, that's how you end up with some snags back in the reel, because the line is just wrapped around there real, real loose, and so it's overlapping and everything else, and it's just not as fun. So if you do that, and then, you know, get it so you can see the end of your line comes out of the water, grab the end of your line, tie on your tackle again, and keep fishing. Okay, so I'm going to kind of stop here for today. I hope everything is going well for you guys. Again, certainly shoot me some questions. If you have anything, you can message me on here, or you can shoot me an email at scooterfishtoes@gmail.com. That's scooterfishtoes@gmail.com. So until we talk again, tight lines, good luck, and we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks.